Today's shir is Masechta Ksubos, Daf Ches, and we will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. We had spoken extensively in our previous shir about the Sheva Brachas. So teaches us our Gemara Tanur Aboron, Mevarchim Berchas Chasanim, we say the Berchas Chasanim, we say the Sheva Brachas, Basara, we need a minion, we need 10 men, Kol Shiva, for all the 7 days of the Sheva Brachas. Comments from Yehuda, when is the Sheva Brachas recited? For who? Kishabar Barim Chadoshes. The Sheva Brachas is only recited if there are Panim Chadoshes when they are to be recited. And as we begin to discuss the halacha of Panim Chadoshes, the Rishonim, the Rambam and the Rosh already debate who is included in the Panim Chadoshes and who is not included in the Panim Chadoshes. The Rambam says that anyone who did not hear the Sheva Brachas at the Chuppah qualifies as a Panim Chadoshes. That means, according to the Rambam, even if he was at the wedding, but he did not hear, he was not at the Chuppah, he could qualify to be Panim Chadoshes. The Rosh, however, holds that Panim Chadoshes refers to new guests who have not participated in the wedding feast or in any of the previous Sheva Brachas meals. Doesn't make a difference if, and the Chuppah, having heard the Sheva Brachas by the Chuppah or not, is not relevant to this question. Furthermore, says the Rosh, that Panim Chadoshes doesn't refer to anyone. Panim Chadoshes refers to meaningful guests who add something, who add simcha by coming to the meal. There are some that say the guest must be of enough significance that the host would be prepared to prepare extra food on behalf of these guests. Says the Rosh, the presence of such a guest adds joy to the meal, and because of that, we recite Sheva Brachas. But according to the Rosh, if a stranger happened to walk in, then according to the Rosh, he would not qualify to be Panim Chadoshes. And the Achroinim explained this machloikis between the Rambam and the Rosh, that the machloikis is a fundamental machloikis in understanding the halacha of what does Panim Chadoshes mean and what is the purpose of the Panim Chadoshes. The Rosh, they explain, understands that the Panim Chadoshes enhances the simcha, the joy of the chasana kala, and other guests, and all the other guests, and therefore, when such individuals attend, it's only befitting that we should say Sheva Brachas. So, says the Rosh, in order to attain that level of simcha, we could only attain that level of simcha if it's somebody who is a meaningful guest. The Rambam, however, holds that during the week of Sheva Brachas, any person who has not yet had the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Sheva Brachas in honor of the chassan should do so when feasible. According to the Rambam, any new guest warrants the chiyuv to say Sheva Brachas. It's not, according to the Rambam, connected to the chassan and kala. Actually, according to the Rambam, it's connected to the guest. This guest, we want him to have the opportunity to participate as everyone else in the mitzvah of Sheva Brachas. The Tosis points out that even though, as we just learned, that in order to say Sheva Brachas, we need to have Panim Chadoshes, says Tosis that on Shabbos itself is considered as Panim Chadoshes. The Rambam doesn't mention any such halacha that Shabbos itself is considered Panim Chadoshes. So we could very much connect this question, if Shabbos is considered Panim Chadoshes, to the way we've explained the Machloikus of the Rosh on the Rambam. The Rosh that holds the Sheva Brachas is cited on Shabbos, even though there are no Panim Chadoshes, because according to the Rosh, the perspective of the Panim Chadoshes is from the Chasana Kala. Whenever the Chasana Kala are enjoying their Simcha more, we say Sheva Brachas. So on Shabbos, even though there aren't any actual individuals there, but the Shabbos itself brings more simcha to the Chasam Kala. And since the Shabbos itself brings simcha to the Chasam Kala, it's appropriate to say Parim Chadashos. According to the Rambam, as we just explained, the chiv of Parim Chadashos is on the guest. The guest who didn't have a chance to participate till now becomes the Parim Chadashos because we want him to have an opportunity to also participate in the simcha of this Chasam Kala. If that's the point that we're trying to address, so according to that, Shabbos is not a guest. And we therefore, even on Shabbos, according to Rambam, would have to have Parim Chadashos. The Rambam continues to say, and this is going to be, this is based on what something we learned in our previous year, that when a bocher, a man who was never married, marries an almana, he has a mitzvah to rejoice with his kala for 3 days. But the Sheva Brachas, the Gemara says, the Sheva Brachas, the Rambam says, is said for 7 days. Says the Rajba, no. If the mitzvah of Simcha ends after 3 days, certainly there can no longer be any mitzvah to recite Sheva Brachas. Says the Brisker Rav, that the psak of the Rambam, that the mitzvah of Sheva Brachas can continue even after the mitzvah of Simcha no longer is there, is very much consistent, says the Brisker Rav, with the opinion of the Rambam. According to Rambam, there's a mitzvah for the person who has not yet had the opportunity to greet and bless the Chasam Kala to do so. And the Rambam says, how long does that obligation remain? The Rambam says that obligation remains for 7 days. So yes, if we look at it, says the Brisker Rav, from the perspective of the Chasam Kala, we could well understand why once the 3 days are over, the Simcha is over. But according to the Rambam, the Panim Chadashos is not connected to the Chasam Kala specifically. The Panim Chadashos is connected to the person who's going to be the Panim Chadashos. And he has that obligation for 7 days. There's an interesting, connected to this would be an interesting question. What would be the halacha? Two interesting questions. What would be the halacha if a woman or a katan could be the Panim Chadashos? It very well may be connected to the Machloikis, Rosh and Rambam. According to the Rosh, that it's dependent on the Chasan and Kala, that the Chasan and Kala are enjoying a new level of Simcha. If that's the case, then the Chasan and Kala may be enjoying that level of Simcha even if the Panim Chadashos is a woman, an ish, or a katan. But according to the Rambam, that the chiv Panim Chadashos emanates from the guest's obligation to be mesameich the Chasam V'Kala, so an ish or a katan who can't say Sheva Brachas cannot be the Panim Chadashos. Another question, what would be the halacha if a boy becomes bar mitzvah during the days of the Sheva Brachas? Can he be the Panim Chadashos? If we learn like the Rosh, so every person who now participates and brings Simcha makes the Chiv of Sheva Brachas. That's according to the opinion of the Rosh. According to the Rambam, if you're not Chai for any of the 7 days, then maybe not. There are many other questions that come up when we speak about the Chiv of the Panim Chadashos, as we quoted Tosfos, that Shabbos, and we said that the Rosh says that are considered Panim Chadashos. The question is, what Sudas on Shabbos are considered Sheva Brachas? Some say that all the meals are Sheva Brachas, and some say that only the night meal and the day meal, but not the Shal Shudas. And the Minhag HaOlam is if the Chosin says Divrei Torah by Shal Shudas, his saying Divrei Torah by the Sheva Brachas is considered as if there were Panim Chadashos, even though it's the Chosin who was there before. The Sefer L'Kutei Yehuda quotes the Sfas Emes. The Pasuk says, V'yivarach l'kim es yoyim hashvi, pasuk discusses HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Shabbos. And the Medrash says, Baruchoy ba'or panav shel Adam. Says the Medrash, Ein daimim ma'or panav shel Adam b'chol, ki ma'or panav shel Adam b'Shabbos. A person doesn't look the same on Shabbos as he does on the weekday. On Shabbos, a person looks differently, says the Sfasemis. Why on Shabbos does a person look differently? Because he's a panim chadashis. Says the Sfasemis, if that's the case, we can now well understand why on Shabbos we don't need to have panim chadashis, says the Sfasemis. Because even we, every one of us, on Shabbos is a panim chadashis. How do we become a panim chadashis on Shabbos? Because we're not the same on Shabbos as we are during the week. Moreover, the Sefer Avodas Yisrael says that even those guests who were at the meal Friday night could be considered panim chadashis for the meal Shabbos morning. So he explains why. Because as Shabbos progresses, every one of us, our level of Kedusha enhances as well. And since on every guest, as Shabbos enhances, it our Kedusha enhances, so the Panim Chadoshes that we had Friday night is not, the Sfasemis says we have a new Panim Friday night because our Panim on Shabbos is not the same as it is during the week. And now, the Panim, says the Avodas Yisrael, the Panim that we had on Shabbos morning is not the same Panim that we have on Friday night. The Chassam Sofer says that we say every Shabbos in our tefillah, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chaylkoi. That Moshe Rabbeinu, we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu karen or upon him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused that Moshe Rabbeinu's face should glow. And says the Chassam Sofer that every Shabbos, Moshe Rabbeinu, in his generosity, gives every Jew from his current or upon off. Says that Reb Nosson Gishtetner from Neibrak Zatzal, that's now we can understand why on Shabbos each one of us is considered a Panim Chadoshes. Because on Shabbos, we don't look like we look all week long. Since on Shabbos, we don't look like we look all week long, on Shabbos, we have this Panim Chadoshes from what Moshe Rabbeinu gave us. So that's why on Shabbos, we have this new Panim, and that's why all of us are considered Panim Chadoshes on Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Before we go further, so we're going to begin discussing now the halacha of Panim Chadoshes, the halacha of Sheva Brachas. And we know that the Sheva Brachas are recited under the Chuppah, but the Sheva Brachas are also recited, as we've been discussing, every one of the days of the Sheva Brachas, and of course by the meal. And a question that comes up very often is if somebody is attending a wedding meal, is he allowed to leave the wedding Suda before the Sheva Brachas are recited? So the Michas Yitzchak in Chelek Beis, Simen Mem Gimel, says that a person can leave before the Sheva Brachas are recited. He says, especially, I was thinking that it may be connected. If the Chiv of Sheva Brachas is a Chiv to the Chasun and Kala, that they should be besimcha, that isn't necessarily a Chiv on the guest. And therefore, the Halach of Sheva Brachas, he says, is that the Chiv of Sheva Brachas, he says, and he quotes Rav Shlomo Kluger to say the same, only begins when they start the Birchas Hamazon. When they begin the Birchas Hamazon, then the halacha is that's when the chiv came. So if you're leaving the wedding before the Sheva Brachas is being recited, so there's no chiv yet. If there's no chiv yet, you haven't done anything wrong in leaving beforehand. Rabbi Yonason Steif in his Tshuvas, however, does point out that even though somebody is leaving the wedding before the Sheva Brachas is recited, the halacha is that he should make sure that he's leaving a meeting. He's leaving a meal. The Shailos HaTshuvos Shevet HaLevi says that it's a question, how do we look at the Chiv of Sheva Brachas? Do we look at the chiv of Sheva Brachas as a chiv on the chas and the kala? So then I don't have that chiv, the guest. Or is it a chiv for me who's participating? And then maybe I shouldn't leave. Reb Yisrael Yankov Fisher, in his Shas Chuvas Evin Yisrael, Chelik Ches Simon Pei Beis discusses the Shaila, and he says that there is no heter to leave the wedding before the Sheva Brachas are recited. Ramosha says that if somebody at the beginning of the meal, as he knows that it's very likely, is not going to want to remain till the end of the wedding, till the Sheva Brachas are recited, says Ramosha Neven Ezer Simon Pei Vav, he should have in mind when he washes for the meal that it is not his intention to remain for the whole meal, and then he won't be chayiv for sure in Sheva Brachas. Of course, it's very important that not just that the chosin hear the Sheva Brachas, but it's very important that the kala as well hear the Sheva Brachas. And moreover, the meal where we recite the Sheva Brachas, Rabbi Yoshua says, has to be a meal where the Sheva Brachas, where the meal was prepared in honor of the Chasam Akala. And if the meal was prepared in honor of the Chasam Akala, then Sheva Brachas can be recited. So as we said, we're about to begin learning the Gemara that identifies each one of the Sheva Brachas. And the Paiskim discuss, sometimes there's a situation, as we've already mentioned, where it may be a question if Sheva Brachas should be recited or not. So Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld says that if somebody has a question if he should recite the Sheva Brachas or not, he says the halacha is he should learn our Gemara. They should take out this Gemara that we're about to learn that teaches us all the Sheva Brachas, the nusach of all the Sheva Brachas, and have in mind when learning this Gemara that if there's an obligation to say Sheva Brachas at this wedding, fantastic. We're saying Sheva Brachas. And if we're not chayiv, so we're learning a nice piece of Gemara. So ask the Gemara, my mevarach, what is the nusach of the Sheva Brachas? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the first bracha is Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Baruch Chvodoy. It's a bracha tzara, it's a short bracha, and the halacha is that every bracha that is said in a short nusach, you only say bracha once, you don't say the bracha twice. And this bracha is said primarily to teach us, I saw from the floor, that everything that was brought, created in the world, was created for Kvod Shemayim. And the human being cannot bring Kvod Shemayim to the world until he's married. So here, as we have the Chas and the Kala coming together under the chuppah and getting married, that goal of the world being created for Sha'akal Barul Chvoidai is achieved and could make that bracha. Rashi, however, says that the bracha of Hakol Barul Chvoidai is L'Chvoid HaNasofim. We're making this bracha, Pashu Pshan and Rashi, in honor of all of the guests who are attending this wedding. But I saw a beautiful pshat from Yisachar Doiv from Belz. He says, we know that to a wedding, not only the guests who are actually physically at the wedding attend the wedding, but even the previous generations attend the wedding. So Rashi means, he says, Nesofim. Nesofim means people who passed away. The bracha is said, L'kovid ha-Nesofim. All of the people who passed away, the forefathers of this Chosin V'Kala, come and attend the wedding in honor of the Chosin V'Kala. The next bracha is Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Yoitzer Adam. This bracha was intended that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we know, created Adam Rishon, and then he brought Chava to the world. And so this bracha, it has really nothing to do with the Kala. The purpose is that to teach us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the goal that ultimately there will be a chassan and ultimately there will be a kala who will get married. But we start with where Hashem created the world, Yoitzer Adam. The next bracha is Ashiyotzer as Adam Betzalmai. Betzalim the most have nisoy. Veskin lai memenu binyan adiad. And we end Baruch Ato Hashem Yoitze HaAdam. This already is much more connected to the Chatzin. That's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the person, and after he created the person, now he created him in a way that from that could come out a woman. B'tzalim the Mustav Nisoy means, as we know, the Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis, that we were all created B'tzalim Elokim. The Avodram explains that we were created B'tzalmai. What is meant when it says that we were created B'tzalmai, it refers to the Neshama. That the Neshama that we all have is Chelik Elokai Ma'al. And B'tzalim the Mustav Nisoy refers to our Guf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us a combination of Guf and Neshama. And then we continue saying, the Hiskalim Binyan Adi'ad. So Rashi explains that that's referring to Chava. The first HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we keep on repeating, created the person, the man. But immediately, the Hiskalim Binyan Adi'ad, he created the man in a way that there should be the bone of whatever will be created from. And it's a binyan adi'ad because when a husband and a wife get married and establish a family, that family is going to be here forever together, building a home of Torah, that is what's considered a binyan adi'ad. The next bracha is Sois Tosis, V'Sogel HaKara, B'Kibbutz B'Nel Sois B'Simcha, Baruch Ato Hashem M'Sameach Tzion B'Vanel. And Rashi explains, by every simcha, by every time of rejoicement that we have to speak about Yerushalayim. And therefore, we mention Yerushalayim, we mention the Gula Shleima that we're all waiting for immediately. And the Miri explains, the simcha that we're going to have, hopefully very soon, with the Binyan Yerushalayim, is very similar to the simcha that we have when a Chasan and Kala got married. It represents the ultimate simcha that one can enjoy. And therefore, he explains it's most appropriate to speak about that simcha as we stand under the chuppah. The next bracha is Sameach to Sameach Rei Mahuvim. The chasen and kala are considered Rei Mahuvim, friends who love each other. Sameach Yitzircha B'Ganeid Makedim. Just like Adam and Arishan and Chava had that experience in Gan Eden, Baruch Ato Hashem, Misameach, Chosen V'Kala. So Rashi explains that this bracha is actually a tefillah, that we're davening, and we're giving a bracha to the Chosen V'Kala, who as they stand together here under the chuppah, are so much connected to each other. That simcha, and that feelings that they have as they stand under the chuppah, should remain forever. And just like when Adam and Chava got married, they were in Gan Eden and enjoyed perfect simcha, with mispalel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this chas and v'kala, as they stand under the chuppah, should have the exact same feeling. And that's why this bracha ends with the words, Mesameach chasen v'kala. We mispalel and we give a bracha on both of them. We mispalel for the chasen and we mispalel for the kala, that they should enjoy this simcha. So the question is that Adam and Chava, when they were in Gan Eden, it was before there was sin in the world. So they were able to really have a high level of simcha. How can we speak every chasen and kala that lives in our world, which is the world after of Averis? So they explain, the Mefarshim explain, that exactly is the point. I saw, because we know that every chasen and kala, as they stand under the chuppah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meichel their Averis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives their Averis. So therefore, it's so appropriate to speak to the chasen and kala as they stand under the chuppah and compare them to Adam and Chava and say, just like Adam and Chava stood under the chuppah in Gan Eden without any Avera, you, chasen and kala, are also standing under the chuppah without any Avera. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz actually says that what we mean to say is that we're davening at this moment of the Chas and the Kala standing under the chuppah. At this moment when they're standing under the chuppah, they could bring Mashiach. And all of us that could end up tonight at this wedding as we're standing in Gan Eden. And Reb Chaim Shalevitz, when he used to say this fart, would take it a step further. He would say, from here we see that when a person davens HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he shouldn't hold back. He should feel comfortable in asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything he feels he needs. Chas, we're asking to go back to Gan Eden. There is no bigger request that one can make to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, in davening it's included that we have every right to ask for whatever we need. The reason these brachas don't begin with the word Baruch, but they don't begin with the word Baruch. So we just spoke about the bracha Sameach, the Samach. We're going to learn in a moment the bracha of Sois Tosses. They consider a bracha Hasmucha L'Chavratam. And because of this, the Shari Ephraim Paskins, that when a person, when we stand by the wedding, many people don't have this minig, but he suggests that when we're standing under the chuppah, it's inappropriate to give the brachas of Sheva brachas to divide them, these brachas, because they're all a bracha smucha l'chavrata. They're all brachas that are one next to each other. And since they're all considered bracha smucha l'chavrata, the halacha is that they may not be divided. However, there are those say that most people have the minig, that it's not considered, even though it's a bracha smucha l'chavrata, the halacha is that if the people, and it's an important halacha, if the people who are hearing the brachas listen to all the brachas, so every one of the people who are getting a bracha, it's as if they recited all of the brachas, because every bracha is, you hear every bracha, so you may be saying one bracha out loud, but it's as if you said all the brachas because you were yoitza with Shemei Ka'inam. The Bei Hativ quotes the Rambam that if somebody says the brachas out of order, there was a mix-up and the brachas were recited out of order, you can say the brachas out of order. Because each bracha, especially as we're learning our Shia now, represents a separate issue. And since each bracha represents a separate bracha, therefore the halacha is that you could say them even out of order. There are some paiskim that suggest that if, and by mistake, the bracha of Ashi Yotzar was recited before the bracha of Yotzar Adam, then you can't say Yotzar Adam. You can't say Yotzar Adam after Sheyotzar. Most paiskim are lenient that if the brachas were accidentally recited out of the proper order, you could still be yoytze the mitzvah. The Yalka Gashuni, as we said, Rashi says that Sameach to Sameach is a tefillah. So he says, what is the tefillah? That Adam and Chava, they had complete ahava. There was no money in the world at that time. There were no external issues of beauty, etc. at that time in the world. And only thing that there was in the world was they had each other. So we are mispalel, says the Yalka Gashuni, for this Chas and Kala, who are standing under the chuppah, that they should have that same feeling, and that they should only think about each other, and all of the sense of joy that they should have in life should come one from each other. Nothing else should play a significant role in their lives. The next bracha is, we went out of order. We missed the bracha of Sois Tosses. Sois Tosses v'sagal ha'kara, b'kibitz b'nel, soicha b'simcha, baruch ato Hashem, b'sameach, tzioin b'vanel. And the next bracha, as we just discussed, is sameach, t'samach rei ma'huvim, k'sameacha yitzich v'ganeid v'kendem, baruch ato Hashem, b'sameach, chosim v'kala. And the last bracha is baruch ato Hashem, al-kinu melech ho'oilom, ashebar ha'sosim v'simcha, chosim v'kala, Gil Arena Ditsa Vachedva, Ava Vachva Vishulam Vareus, Mehera Hashem Alkenu, Yishama Ba'ore Yehuda Bechutzes Yushalayim, Kalsosav Kal Simcha, Kalchosav Kal Kalo, Kamatsalis Chasan Mikuposom, Una Orim, Mimishte Niginosom, Baruch Ato Hashem, Mesamech Chosan Im Hakala. Why do we? So I sort of Gra explains there are two words in Hebrew that are very similar: the word sasan and simcha. What is the difference between those two words? So he explains that simcha is what happened in the past, and sasan represents the future. And we're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this chasan akala should have a life of uninterrupted simcha. They should have sasan from what happened to them in the past, and they should have simcha as they move forward. The Malbim explains that the difference between sasan and simcha is actually that sasan, he explains, is rejoicement that is outwardly noticeable, and simcha is joy, is internal enjoyment. And we daven on behalf of the chasan and kala. We daven on behalf of the chasan and kala that not only should they have simcha their entire life, but the type of simcha that they should have their entire life is a sasoin v'simcha. They should have both types of simcha in their lives, and that's how they will be ultimately blessed with a wonderful, wonderful life. So now here, as we mentioned, previously we said, in the other bracha it says chasan v'kala, and here it says chasan imakala. And Rashi explains that here we're at the point where we're finishing the Sheva Brachas, and since we're finishing the Sheva Brachas, and now the chasan v'kala, a husband and wife, since at this point the chasan and kala become husband and wife, it's appropriate to say chasan imakala, because till now, until the Sheva Brachas, we're recited, as we've mentioned and will mention, a chasan and kala, until the Sheva Brachas are recited, are not allowed to live with each other. Levi Ikel Lebei Rebbe, Bilul Rav Shimon Berei. Says the Gemara, Levi came to the home of Rebbe by the wedding of Rav Shimon's son. Bir Chamesh, he made five brachas, but the brach of Yotza Adam he didn't say. Ravasi Ikel Lebei Rav Ashi, Bilul Rav Shimon Berei, he came at the wedding of his son Mar, or Berach Shish, and he said also the bracha of Yotza Adam. So we see that there was a question, should we say the bracha of Yotzer Adam or not? So suggest the Gemara, Lema B'Hav Kamifki, what is the basis of the Machoikis of Rav Asi and Levi? There's a Gemara Masech the Erevin, Daf Yud Ches Amen Aleph, that discusses how did it look when Adam Arishin was created. Was he created with two faces, one face, the face of a male, and one face, the face of a female, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided that into two? Or was the person originally created as one individual, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took part of that person and formed the female out of him? The Marsover, the one that didn't say Yetzer Adam, says Chayat Yetzirah Hava. There was never a time of Yetzer Adam. There was never a time that there was only one person alone, and therefore it's inappropriate to say Yetzer Adam. Whereas Rav Asi holds Shtei Yetziras Havi, that there was originally only the Adam, and then ultimately the Adam was turned into the Ish as well. So there were two stages, and if there were two stages, it's appropriate to say first Yotzer Adam, and then after, and say Yotzer Adam first, says the Marloi. Everybody could agree the Kula Mechad Yetzir Hava. There was only one creation. Masov Abbas Machshava Zlinen. We go after the Machshava. And since in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's infinite wisdom, he was intended to create the Adam and then the Nekava, since that was his originally Machshava, or Masov Abbas Machshava. And since they were created separately, we don't speak about the Yotzer Adam, because we speak about, so one says, do we go with the Machshava? And since the Machshava always was to have two, there is no time of Yotzer Adam itself, or do we say that we look at the way it was actually done? And since we see that it was actually done in two stages, when we say the bracha, we should say it in two stages. It says the Gemara, Yehuda Rav Yehuda Rami, Ksiv, on one end it says, V'yiver Elokim es Adam b'tzamai. In Pashat Bereishis, it says that the Adam Arishu was created by himself. V'ksiv, but yet there's another pasuk that says, Zocha nekev b'ron, that they were created at the same time. Says the Gemara, HaKetzet, how do we reconcile these two pasukim? We say, B'tchila ala b'achshava liver shnayim. Originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu intended to create, indeed, a Zocha v'nekeva. U'psoif, but he nivra echad, he created the Adam himself, and then the Keva was born later. Says the Gemara, Vashi ikla be'er Avkahana, Vashi came to the Omer of Kahana, Yom Kahuna, on the first day, by the first meal, Machlokes Rishonim, what does Yom Kama mean? Some explain that the first day of the wedding, even if there were many meals served on that day, all of the meals on the first day are considered Yom Kama. Others explain that Yom Kama refers to the first meal that is served right after the chuppah. And some say that some discuss, well, what will happen if even the first meal that's served after the wedding wasn't served on the same day as the wedding, which is highly likely. If the chuppah took place by day, and the meal took place by night, is that considered Yom Kama? So we have a big machlokes. What is the dinner? What is considered Yom Kama? So it says Baruch Kula. All the brachos kasana was said. Mikan ve'elech. Whether there were panim kadoshes or whether there aren't panim kadoshes. Mikan ve'elech. But as we began today's shir, from after whatever we say is that first yom, whatever is considered yom kana. The halach is ik panim kadoshes. If there's a panim kadoshes, baruch kula, then we say all the brachos. V'loy. But if not, afush is simcha ba'almahu. All it's considered is a time of extra simcha, but it doesn't warrant that we should say the Sheva Brachas and Mevarach Shasimcha Mamayna. When we start the Zimun, we say in the Zimun, we add those words, Shasimcha Mamayna, and Mevarach Lo Alkeinu, Shasimcha Mamayna, Shachalnu Mishaloi. And the only bracha from the Sheva Brachas that's recited, if there are no Panim Chadoshes, then the only one we say is the last bracha of Ashibara, but we don't say anything more. Here we're learning the halacha of saying Simcha B'mayna. What's pshat in saying Simcha B'mayna? So the Avodram explains, what we're trying to proclaim that the Simcha that we're rejoicing with this Chasim V'Kala doesn't emanate from us. True Simcha doesn't emanate from us. The true Simcha comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the Pasuk says, Oiz v'chedva m'mkaymai. The Aruch HaShukhan explains that why we say Simcha m'mayna, because we're saying that the Simcha of a person is not really a complete Simcha. Because he explains, if we think about it, what's the whole reason that people get married? Because people get married because we will not be here forever. And we get married and we have children, and that's how the world will be able to continue. And what we're announcing is in this world, even though we're Baruch Hashem having a chasna, we're having a simcha, it's not a complete simcha. Where is their complete simcha? But ma'aynai, in the ma'aynai of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there is no death, and there's simcha that lasts forever. Why from all the words, way of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's place, do we use the word ma'ayim? So the Gemara says that in Shemayim, there's a special place called Ma'ayim, and that's the place where the Malachi Asharis sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're sitting at a Simcha, and we're speaking about the Simcha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the place where there's the most Simcha in Shemayim is the place called Ma'ayim. As we said, the Brach of Ashabara, we say under all circumstances, even if there's no panim chadoshes, the halacha is we should say the bracha of Ashabara, because that is not connected to the panim chadoshes. However, there is a machlokes at paiskim. Do we have to have a minyan at least to be able to say Ashabara? The Taz says that the halacha is that you have to have a minyan. It's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that you don't have to have a minyan, but the Ran, he does quote the Ran that says that even though you don't have to have a minyan, you have to have at least three people. Because just like you can't bench Bezimun, explains the Gra, unless you have three people, you can't say Ashabara, according to the Shulchan Aruch, according to the Gra, without at least three people. Says the Gemara, Meshivavat Shloshim, after the 7 days, until 30 days from the wedding, Bein Amalu and the Chos and the Kala are attending the meal, Bein Amalu, Machus Halula, whether they were invited in honor of the wedding, or Bein Loy Amalu, Machus Halula, whether they weren't invited for that purpose, Mevarach Shesimcha Moinah, we still say Shesimcha Moinah. And the reason is, explained the Rishonim, is because we assume that any meal that the Chosan and Kala are attending at that point is in honor of them. B'kam v'eilach, after 30 days, i'amalahu b'rchas halolo, if we said explicitly to them that the reason they're, to the guest, that you are invited because of the Chosan and Kala, v'varach shesimcha v'mayna, iloi, loi. Says the Gemara, v'chi i'amalahu machus halolo. And when he did not say that's because, if he did say that I'm inviting you because of the wedding, so how long does that last? That we say that a meal, that we say is the honor of the Chosan Kala, it has the din of Simcha Mimoina. Omer HaPapa Mishmei Derava Atresi Yachishata. Until 12 months after the wedding. It's interesting to point out that the Marshal says at one point that he had a minig that perhaps we should say HaSimcha Mimoina even at a Siyam. But our meaning is not to say it, and it's not a pro, and it's not a, we shouldn't say that even though it's a tremendous simcha, we won't say a simcha minor only by Sheva Brachas. Says the Gemara Mekara Amos. But at what point do we begin saying simcha minor? Says the Gemara Amra Papa, Michira Masara Basnisa. From the moment they put the barley into water to prepare beer, cover the chasm akala, that's when the meal, that's when was deciding, that's when it's showing that's the kavod chas v'kala, which is a very interesting fact, because throughout Shas, when we speak about beer, beer in the time of Chazal was typically not made out of hops, not made out of barley. Beer that was served at a wedding was made out of barley, because barley grows quickly, and that's the bracha we're giving to the chas v'kala. Eini, says the Gemara, for a papa asked the Abba Mabarei or Baruch, and he said Simcha Moinah Mishas Erison. Says the Gemara, Shani Rapapa, Adava Triachlei. He already started, as we've learned many times. In the time of Chazal, they had Erison, and typically the Nesuin were 12 months later. But so there's no reason, under normal circumstance, to say Simcha Mimoina at the Erisin. It's 12 months before the Nesuin. But Rav Papa would begin in earnest preparing for the wedding from the Erisin, and therefore he already said by the Erisin Simcha Mimoina. Says the Gemara, Ravina Asikle Lebrei, he got his son engaged to a woman, Bei Rav Chaviva, from the home of Rav Chanina, or Baruch Mishasar Erisin. And he already started, then he said Simcha Mimoina at the Erisin. Amma, Kimle Begavai, he says, why am I already saying Simcha Mimoina at this early point? I am confident, the Loi Hadribu, that this wedding will ultimately lead, this Erison will lead to Nesuin. And therefore, it's appropriate already to say Simcha Mimoina. But says the Gemara Loi Stai Milsa, Loi Hadribu, it did not actually come to fruition that they should have Nesuin. Says the Gemara, after Chlifa Bamarova, Ikle Lebavel, Ubarach Shit Arichta. He said the six brachas. Then each one of the brachas, we spoke about the nusach of the brachas earlier in our shir. His nusach of every bracha was a lengthy nusach. It says the Gemara, "Vles hechas kavasei." That is not the halacha. We say the nusach that we learned earlier. Rav Chaviva ikle bei mehula, and he ubarach simcha b'mayna. He came to a bris mila, and he said simcha b'mayna. But says the Gemara, "Vles hechas kavasei." It's inappropriate to say it. Why? Because mishum the tree de islay tsar de yinuka. A bris mila is not a pure simcha. A bris mila has in it also the pain that this child is suffering. And of course it's a mitzvah, but it's not a place to say simcha v'mayna. The Rishonim discuss, but what about a pinyan ben? Should simcha v'mayna be said at a pinyan ben? A pinyan ben, there's no pain to the child. So the Rishonim saying that's aminig. We don't say simcha mayna by a pidyon aben because we don't find anywhere that a pidyon aben is a mitzvah that's specifically connected to simcha. Amrav Nachman Amrav chasanim min aminyan. When we have to have a minyan for saying the sheva brachas, the chasanim can be counted towards the minyan. However, v'ein ameilim in a minyan. When we need a minyan to say bracha by aveilim, we'll speak about that. The oval is not part of that. Not part of that minyan that we need to have. Says the Gemara. Meisvei asked the Gemara. The Brisa says chasanim v'aveilim in a minyan. So we see that the aveilim are part of the minyan. Answers the Gemara, Masnisa Karamas or Lay the Rav. You're asking a question from a Bryce on Rav. Rav Tana Upalag. Rav is a Tana and he has a right to argue. As the Chazanish explains this concept of Rav Tana Upalag, which is a concept we find many times in Shas, he says the entire concept of Rishonim and Achroinim, explains the Chazanish, means that the later generations, we're not on the same level. We're not on the same madriga as the earlier generations. And since they were not on the same level, they have no right to disagree with the earlier generations if they're not on the same level. However, says the Chazon Ish, when the Gemara says, Rav Tanahu Polig, what the Gemara is actually meaning to say is that even though Rav was right after the time of the Mishnah, and he lived at a time where the people were not on the same level as the previous generation, Rav still had that level. And therefore, even though in age, he was in age and time, he wasn't part of that generation, but in his level, he was part of that generation. And because in his level, he was part of that generation, he had a right, Rav Tanahu Palag, he has a right to disagree in something that's taught in a Mishnah and a Braisa. Itmar, Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan, chasanim in a minyan. The chasanim are allowed to be the part of the minyan. Vein aveilim in a minyan, but the aveilim are not part of the minyan that we need for the bracha. Meisvei asked the Gemara chasanim veaveilim min a minyan. That the Brisa says chasanim and aveilim in a minyan, and here point out the Rishonim that we can't say Rabbi Yochanan tanahu polig, even though what Rabbi Yochanan was also from the earliest Amoraim, he still wasn't on the level of Rav. Some say that even Rabbi Yochanan himself held that Rav, given that he did not live in the same generation as the Tanoim, had no right to argue, and therefore asked the Gemara, how could we say that they could be part of the minyan? Answered the Gemara, Kitanya, he, the Braisa that says that the oval could be part of the minyan is Bebrichas Hamazon. The oval has to do all the mitzvahs. And since the oval has to do all mitzvahs, he also has to say Bebrichas Hamazon. Ki kam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about the shura that the aveilim walk in after the levaya, and that the oval is not part of the minyan. Ask the Gemara, Velhodam Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yochanan, Bevarchim Bechsa Chsarim Be'asoro, Vechsarim in a minyan. Ubrichs Avail Be'asoro, Veil Meil in a minyan. Ask the Gemara, Brocha B'shuru Me'ika. Where's the Brocha? That we just say Hamokim. El Kikam Rabbi Yochanan, Brochova. After the Kvura, their minig was that they would have a meal and it would be called the Sudas Avra, and they made special brachas. That's what he's referring to. Ask the Gemara if we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan is referring to the Birchas Rechava, Elohadam, Rabbi Yitzchak, and Rabbi Yochanan, Mevarchim Birchas Chasanim Be'asara, Kol Shiva, V'chasanim Min Aminyan, Birchas Aveilim Be'asara, Kol Shiva, V'eilim Min Aminyan. Here we can't say that we're referring to the Birchas Rechava, because ask the Gemara, Birchas Rechava, Kol Shiva, Me'ika, is the Birchas Rechava all 7 days? Mishkachslo says the Gemara, there is. V'panim Chadoshes, if somebody comes that didn't visit these aveilim previously, they make this bracha any time. Says the Gemara, Kihadra B'chibar Abba, Makir B'neid Reish Lakish Abba. He was the teacher of the son of Reish Lakish. Ramalei, Masne B'neid Reish Lakish. He didn't teach him Chumash, he taught him Mishnais. Havashach Alev Yenuka. And a young son of B'chibar Abba passed away. Yom HaKam Alay Azul Gabay. The first day, Reish Lakish did not come to be menachem avol him. Well, the macher on the second day, Dabrei Yehuda ben Nachmeni, Shai Meturgmei, Resh Lakish took along Yehuda ben Nachmeni, who was his interpreter, or some say that whenever they said a shir, they needed somebody to be able to say the shir out loud. They didn't have microphones, so everybody could hear the shir. Amalei, so Resh Lakish said to Yehuda ben Nachmeni, who was his spokesman, Kum Eyum Emelsa, go say some words of consolation, Kol Kabel Yenuka, vis-a-vis this child who died. Pasuk from Amos, Yehuda ben Nachmeni began by saying, the Pasuk says, V'yar Hashem, V'yinot mikas bonav v'menoysov. Dor, sh'ovis menatzim l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. If the parents act inappropriately, and they cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu to get angry, koyis al v'neim v'menoysayim, he gets angry at their children, or meisim k'shiktanim, and they die when they're young. Ikadamri, that it wasn't a young child that died. Bachur kavi. He was already a young man. Vachi kam alei. And what he said was, Al ken abachurav lo yismach Hashem, ves yisoyim ves amonoysov lo yirachom, ki kulay chanef, they're busy flattering the Rishonim, or merei, they're doing averis, the kobhed dov and the volo, they speak inappropriately, because os lo shav apoy, he, Kadosh Baruch Hu, still not, his anger has not subsided. Ask the Gemara, "My v'yod oydin yotuya." What does that mean? Amar Rav Chanan bar Av. How could yodin lekala lam nechnas lechupa? We all know why a chassan lekala got married. A kala menabel piv or moitz devar mepiv. Somebody who speaks inappropriately. A fill and nechdom like zadinim shel shivim shana. The toiva. Even he has wonderful decrees for 70 years. By speaking that way, chas v'shalom nepech l'ra. Everything turns around. Says the Gemara, Osla Nachmuni, his goal was to comfort him, Tzuriko Metzali, and by saying his son acted inappropriately, and that's why he died, that's not the way you make a person feel good. Says the Gemara, Kamalei, Chosh V'atel Fusei Adoro. What he's saying was, your son, the entire child generation suffered, your son suffered for the sins of the generation. Amma, so Resh Lakish said to Yehuda ben Nachmeni, Kumem Memelsa, now say something, Keneged Shivcha Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu. Speak about praising Hashem. Pasuf Amar, Hakela Godel Barayv Godloi, Adav Chazik Barayv Nerois, Mechayim Esim Mamoroi, Oysig Dolos and Echekiv and the Flores and the Mispar, Baruch Ata Hashem Mechayim Esim. Amalei, Kumem Memelsa Keneged Aveilim, now say something in honor of the Aveilim. Pasuf Amar, our brothers who are suffering. Think about it. This is what will happen to everyone. Everyone will pass away. This is the path that has been established from creation of the world. Rabim Shosu, many people have passed away. And Rabim Yishtu, and many people will pass away. Everybody will have the same fate. Our brothers, you who are Avelim, the Baal Nechomis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has the ability to do true consolation, Yenachem Eschem, Baruch Menachem Avelim. Amar Bayim Ram, Meshah Suleyma, you should indeed say that many have suffered as you are suffering with people in the family passing away. However, Rabim Yishtu Loy Leyma, don't speak about the future. Mishter Rishonim Lema, you could say what happened in the past. However, Mishter Achronim Lema, don't say that it will happen in the future. Why? Dama Shim Meshlokish, V'chein Tan Mishmeid Reb Yosef, Lo'olam Ayiftach Onam Piv L'Satan. A person should not speak something that represents bad. Amar Yosef Maikra, the Pasuk says, in Yeshayahu, the Pasuk says, Kamat K'stoim Ayinu L'mer Domino. They say we were like Stoim. And immediately after they're addressed, my hadalei, Shema Dvar Hashem Ktzinei Sodoim. And therefore, the halach is very specific that we have to be very careful to how we speak and how we do things that shouldn't represent anything terrible. That's why the minig is that somebody who has parents doesn't say Kaddish Yosem. It's important to point out that even though they don't say Kaddish Yosem, the Paiskim are quite unanimous in saying that they may say Kaddish Rabbanim. That's also dalocha, why somebody should not demonstrate upon himself when he's learning Masechta Chulin or Hilcha Shechita, how a Shechita is conducted, because it's not something you demonstrate on yourself. This is also the source for the minig that a person should not, that people who are parents, Baruch Hashem, do not remain in shul when Yiska is recited. And there's a very interesting question. Is it appropriate or inappropriate to buy a kever while somebody still alive? Is that in the category of Al Yiftach Adam Piv L'Satan? And I saw that the minig that many suggest is that it's most appropriate to buy a piece of a kever during, even while one is alive. The Shagas Arya says that if somebody has a minig not to buy a place of burial when he's alive, Ein La'ika, there's no basis for this, the Devrei Hevelhein. But I did see the Steichemet has a discussion on the subject. The Steichemet suggests that you should buy and reserve a Makom Kever, but not pay for it in full while you're alive. Amar, so Rish Lakish now says to Yehuda Menachmeni, Kumei Memilsa, say something, Keneg Menachmi Avelim, to the people who are going to be consoling. Pasach v'Amar, Acheinu b'nei goyim l'chsodim, you people who are coming to console, b'nei goyim l'chsodim, Hamachzik mebrisa shel Avram Avinu, Acheinu b'al agmol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate b'al chesed, Yishal mulchem gemulchem baruch at Hashem b'shal magmol. Amar lei, so Rish Lakish now says to Yehuda ben Nachmeni, Kum am misl kenegi ko Yisrael. Pasuk vam rabbeinu alaylam, haylamim, p'tei v'atzeh malei toshia amchi Yisrael min ha-deva min ha-cher min ha-biza, min ha-shidofim min ha-yirakim min ha-komini prayinus ha-misrakshoyis, ovois loylam. Tem nikra, v'ata tana, baruch ha-ta Hashem, oitzer magefa. V'amar ula, v'amar lei b'mas nisatan, asara kaisas tikna cham beis oval. The halach is that in the home of an oval, they should drink 10 cups of wine. Like that, that should help them calm down. Shloshe kod mechila, three are eaten before the meal. Kedei liftach is b'nei me'ev, that he should have the appetite to eat. V'abel achra achila, four after the meal, by brichas hamazon. Echad keneged azon, v'echad keneged brichas aretz, v'echad keneged b'nei Yerushalayim, v'echad keneged atoy v'meitev. Hasifu lam arba. They said they should, so that's a total of 10 cups. But they added more. Arba kaisis, echek neged chazoni ha'ir. We say a bracha to the people who took care, the chevra kedisha, who took care of everything in the kfura. Echek neged beis hamigdash, echek neged panos ha'ir, the leaders of the city. Echek neged beis hamigdash, echek neged gamliel. Hischilu ha'yishoysin u'mishtakrin. So they were drinking so many cups of wine, they were beginning to become intoxicated. They went back to only 10 cups. Says the Gemara, "My, what did they make a bracha? My Rabbi Gamliel." The Gemara says, "What does it mean, Rabbi Gamliel?" The Tanya Bishona, I saw it's a mess. Koshel Kravi Yosem and Misa. The death of a person was even harder than that. The burial of the person was even harder than the death. At Shahayu, because making a funeral was extremely expensive. The family could not afford a levaya, so they would leave the person who passed away a barchan. When he died, he said, "Take me out in cheap linen garments." That's how everybody now is buried, in simple linen tachrichim. They bury a mace in something that isn't cost even a zuz. But even though it doesn't cost a zuz, it should be clean, it should be neat, it should be recognizing that we need to give the mace, the covered mace, as he's coming to approach the kisei covered, and daven and give a divin cheshbin and daven for the rest of us that we have yeshuas for nechamas.